Hi, everybody. It's June 10th, 2021. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio. We're the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. All that's over at ace-ed.org, our home website, ace-ed.org. And if you go over there to our consortium website, you'll see all of our podcasts archived. You'll see our future schedule for the next week. All right, and you'll see our wonderful online journal, which is called Equity and Access. You can flip right through it. Everything we do over there is free. It's a brand new issue of the magazine, 95 pages long. Hold on. Excuse me. And in it is a picture of my guest today, Marla Wilson. Marla is here from the STEM Careers Coalition, which is part of Discovery Education. I'm clearing my throat here as we're talking. All right. And she has brought with her, okay, Sam Whiting, who's the director of Boeing Global Engagement, like Boeing, like airplanes, okay, out in the Western region for the Boeing company. And it's a pleasure to have you both here. Marla, are you there?
I am. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, my friend. How you doing today? I finally saw your picture. Beautiful lady, I got to tell you. You should head to Hollywood. That's all I'm saying.
You are always so kind. Thank you, Larry.
It's the truth. It's the truth. Sam, I haven't seen your picture. You think Hollywood's calling?
Oh, I think Hollywood called a while ago.
Yeah.
Good morning to you both.
Good morning. And Sam, is it 6 a.m. out there? Are you up early?
It's 6 a.m. I am up early for this. And it's
wow, thank you. Well, thank you. That's a sacrifice. We appreciate it. We do indeed. Okay, it's a pleasure to have you here. It really is. Okay, Marla, tell us about the STEM Careers Coalition and why you're here today and why you work with Boeing.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Sam, for joining us. And the STEM Careers Coalition really is a first-of-its-kind initiative that connects corporations like Boeing and schools to really accelerate STEM learning through diversity and sustainability. So every day I get the pleasure of working with industry leaders like Sam, to really nurture a diverse culture of STEM education in our K-12 schools nationwide through really innovation, representation, and collaboration. So my work essentially helps build equity and access in education through diversity and sustainability-focused STEM resources, and they are all available at no cost.
There you go, STEM Careers Coalition, which is part of Discovery. I should say that Discovery Education, all right? And what you guys do is incredible, and you talk about not only creating careers in STEM, but creating a diversity of students, okay, in that. And that's a key factor these days, and it's been too long. We've let that go. Sam, talk about your interest in education from the Boeing side.
All right. Happy to do so. So we are really focused on how we can continue to innovate and build the next generation of technology. And in order to do so, it's very important to us that we are engaged in the education pipeline and in helping to develop the next generation of innovators. And it is part of I'm very fortunate to be part of our global engagement group, which focuses very strongly on the STEM pipeline and on how we can, from the very beginning, from how kindergartners are prepared in early mathematics all the way through reskilling workers to help them gain higher wage jobs. We have a range of ways in which we're engaged in the community, mostly locally where we have sites and employees. And the STEM Careers Coalition is a great opportunity for us to be on a large national platform to be able to do that.
It's nice for you guys to be working together, you folks. The STEM Careers Coalition does a great job of incorporating industry into their work. Sam, you've got a two-pronged effort here. A, you need future engineers, future workers who understand STEM. That's hard enough, okay, these days. All right? And we'll talk about that. And you can talk about where you are now and that. But there's a second situation, and that is to build, and you guys recognize this, of course, a diverse workforce, okay? Mm-hmm. People from all backgrounds, if I may, okay? People of varied colors, if I may, okay, et cetera. And, Sam, just from your point of view now, how are we doing that on that right these days?
Well, you know, we actually, as a company, just released a diversity report about what's true in our company and how it compares to the industry. And as a benchmark using the industry in terms of diversity of our workforce, we're doing pretty well. But I would say the industry has a lot of growth in that area. We really look at the importance of the diversity of thought and experience that comes into play in terms of an employee's ability to think creatively, to work on a team, to share their voice in different ways. And all of that is important, and it really matters in terms of building the best products that we can. Also, in the communities where our operations are, you know, it's really important to us to, as much as possible, be able to help the students who are in those communities gain access to high-quality educational programs that will help them achieve their own dreams and really do as well as they can in terms of their academic careers. You know, we are looking in any manufacturing business, you're looking not just for engineers. We hire with all kinds of educational backgrounds. We hire folks right out of high school all the way through PhD mathematicians and everything in between.
And Sam, I'm going to get back to Marla in a second, but your opinion, okay, how are schools doing? I mean, Boeing needs a workforce. It's that simple. Yeah, and every other corporation involved with Marla and every other corporation needs a workforce, and actually we're experiencing a lull right now, okay? We're really looking for qualified workers right now all over the country. And Sam, as you do this now, literally now, how are we doing? Where's Boeing? You just focus on Boeing. Where are we right now? I know we're going to go for the future, but you know what I mean. Right now.
Yeah, I do know what you mean, absolutely. Aviation is a very cyclical business. The industry as a whole goes up and down and up and down.
Is that a pun?
Get it? Yeah. But if you think about, like, the last year has been very challenging for the aviation industry as a whole, and even in that environment, companies like Boeing are still hiring, are still looking for workers. And, you know, you think about things like there are, 750,000 fewer enrollments in colleges and universities in the United States
this
year as compared to last. Like, when you think about those kinds of things, that is not a pipeline that's going to get us where we need to be. At the same time, what I have seen over my career in education, which actually began before Boeing, when I came to Boeing in 2007, I would talk to folks about STEM, and school districts said to me, no, we have a math department and a science department. And they didn't, the transformation in that education industry in those 14 years has been amazing to me, that STEM is such an integral part of the education system now. And
yes.
I see it is just infused into everything, even in preschools and Head Start programs and that sort of thing. It's really been very inspiring to see.
But it's interesting. K-12 schools, if I may, this is their job. Their job, they have a two-pronged job, to create a workforce and to create people who can live in a democracy. That's the two-pronged job of K-12, okay, besides literacy. You know what I mean. Those are the two goals, all right? And we must prepare for this future workforce, okay? And I'm glad you said that, because we really – it's amazing how this has all come together over the last few years and really been so important, okay, for everybody, because we're feeling the pinch now. We gotta make changes. Marla, just in your opinion, and talk from everything, my good friend Marla, okay, how are we doing right now in terms of not only STEM, but in terms of diversity in STEM?
Certainly. I mean, I do agree with Sam and the great work that Boeing's been doing, but at large, there's still a lot of work to do. fact of the matter is that the systematically disadvantaged are even more disadvantaged at the onset of the pandemic and during such, because they face so many challenges that affect their ability to really dive into education. There, you know, there's a social and emotional learning component to that that we really must pay attention to, so that we can take a holistic approach to really supporting students and educators for that matter. And so, you know, when we look at some of the disparaging numbers of the individuals that are represented in the STEM workforce now, when it comes to those that are Black or Hispanic, and then, of course, the gender gaps. I mean, right now, if you look at the current STEM workforce pipeline, only 24% of that workforce is represented by women. So that's, you know, and then when you look at those people of color, you have some equally low numbers. And so there is work to do, but the encouraging thing is that companies are really honing in on how they can, you know, work to diversify the future workforce in STEM. And so through the STEM Careers Coalition and the work that Boeing and other companies are doing are really, in my opinion, going to make a tremendous difference in the next 5 to 10 years.
You are absolutely right. And a second question, how do we make, Marla, and this is an impossible question to answer, so there's only one person I can ask it to, that's you, then Sam can chime in, okay? But it's impossible to answer. How do we make the change? In other words, we've got to get kids, okay? I'm going to say kids in lower socioeconomic, that sort of thing, or whatever you want to phrase that, okay? We've got to get all children to understand that there, that for them there may be a great career in STEM. But we have to not only start teaching them early, we have to keep them interested, all right? And understand that where have we gone wrong? How do we do this? Okay, that's the big question. And if you can answer that, I'll give you a PhD from the University of Larry, which is totally invaluable. However, I will also give one to Sam. So just because he's here. Okay, go ahead, Marla. Sam, you're the special guest, Sam, so you can think about this one. Okay, but Marla, you go first. Yeah.
Well, and I'll take that PhD from you, Larry, in honor of it as such.
Doctors from the University of Larry, they're valuable. They're valuable.
That's right.
It's
accredidated. We'll do
you
that.
You know what our team, Marla, do you know what our team name is? You know what our team name is?
What is it? What is it?
The Larrys. It's the Larrys. Yeah.
The Larrys.
The Larrys.
I love it.
Yeah. Okay, so
I love
University
it. I
of Larry.
Love it.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm on board.
Yeah, I know that. You can be a cheerleader.
You know,
go ahead. Yeah.
She can be the quarterback.
I know. I'm going to. That's funny, Sam. Okay, we're gonna get back on track here.
How do we
know,
do this, Marla?
First and foremost, Larry, we need to define diversity before we can even have a conversation about equity and inclusion. And so, for you know, our corporate leaders and our education leaders, you know, what are we talking about? You know, my desire is to build a more inclusive workforce. And so, you know, if we define diversity and we start talking about equity and inclusion, then we can really have a serious discussion around inclusion. And so, you know, a lot of that is identifying, you know, the gaps, like where do we need to increase STEM literacy, even when it comes to educators. There are a lot of you know, careers that we're beginning to illustrate through the STEM Careers Coalition site that even educators would not identify as STEM. There are a myriad of engineering, you know, positions in aviation and across the board, even when you're looking at technology and some of the manufacturing industry roles. And so as we define diversity, begin to have a more inclusive thought process, and then start to have these conversations with students who ordinarily wouldn't see the STEM in them. And that's what we need to do, because it's really a skills-based conversation that leads to, you know, a myriad of career opportunities for students. And that's what we want to do, is let them see their options based on what they're interested in, the problems they want to solve, and, you know, see themselves as actual solution seekers, especially in their own communities. where, you know, our underserved communities are really at the helm of our challenges. And if we can show them how they can solve for those problems, they can see themselves as future STEM professionals.
You know, you just said a good line. It's finding the STEM in them. You said that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good line. Finding the STEM in you.
Yeah,
finding the STEM inside you. It's a good line. It is.
Trademark.
Steal it. Steal it, Sam.
Well,
line.
I mean, and that's really, I mean, that's the work of these great companies. When
it
we,
is.
You know, we really dive in and have these critical conversations. You know, we're having candid conversations about the people we want students to see in STEM leadership. And, you know, that is, you know, identified by one, you know, looking at the gender gap. So seeing women in STEM and seeing black leaders in STEM, looking at black men who are highly underrepresented in the STEM workforce. A lot of the work that we do with Boeing is, you know, identifying the opportunities to be able to illustrate those great stories and their backgrounds, and then they begin to connect with students so that they see this is not something that's out of their reach. It's something that's really, I mean, sincerely within them.
Question.
So, yeah, and Sam, you know, talked about some of the non-traditional pathways in a post-secondary standpoint. All of these children won't be able to go to college. And so there are various ways that they can become STEM professionals after
Absolutely.
They graduate from high school.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we want to clear that pathway for them. We want to show them what their post-secondary options are and how professionals at Boeing and a lot of these other companies achieve their goals in some of those environments, whether it be technical, you know, a technical education or, you know, an internship, entrepreneurship or apprenticeship, rather. And so that's the great work that we are setting out to do in the more immediate time frame.
Well, and if I may.
Go, Sam.
Yeah, I guess a couple of things I would add to that. You know, one of the things that we really try to focus on that the STEM Careers Coalition is a great partner in is thinking about relevance. So not just you can be an engineer. Kids don't know what that means, especially if there are no engineers in their life, if not, you know, no
That's
one
right.
in their family is an engineer, but really trying to provide examples and relate it to what's happening right now. So the STEM Careers Coalition, we have together done a whole series of videos about response of the member companies or the partner companies to COVID and how, you know, in our case, we used our airlift capability and we 3D printed face shields and we moved PPE all over the world and all of that kind of stuff. And to be able to provide those kinds of examples for something that is very much the lived experience of students right now can really help them see, you know, kids want to save the world. That's, you know, we do this event every spring called STEM Signing Day, where this year we had more than 600 students. We've started it in 2017, have had 2,000 students participate in over those years. And the kids make this little video just on their phone, and then they talk about, like, where they're going to go and what they want to study and what they want to do in their adult life. And, you know, they're all about how they want to change the world, how they want to, and especially this year, so much of it about like disease prevention and medicine and that sort of thing. And it's so inspiring to see them responding to the environmental conditions they see around them or the disproportionality that they saw in the effect of COVID in their community or that sort of thing. It's really, it's an amazing thing to see. And the more that we can provide those kinds of examples and that kind of information as early and as often as possible. And also in terms of equity, really try to ensure access to that information and access to the resources that kids need to be able to engage in that content is really important.
And the relevance point is so important. I forget which one of you said it, but some you could say, why don't you become an engineer? They don't even know what that is. That was a great point. Okay, if you don't have people around you, points of contact, you don't even know what that is or what that person does. Okay, we've got to make this relevant. And the whole idea of the pandemic, which was too serious, is unbelievable. Hold on one sec. I'm sorry, my asthma kicked in a little bit there. Sorry, I had to put my microphone on mute. Okay, Sam, I want to ask you something. I want you to scare people for a second. Okay, Boeing needs STEM workers. I'm going to talk about scientists, engineers, et cetera. If the U.S. schools don't produce them, Boeing has to go elsewhere. And you are an international corporation.
Right.
All right? I know you're American-based, quite obviously, but you're an international corporation. Okay? As you look at the workforce now, have you had to go international to find your folks? And the reason I'm asking that is because it's the kind of statistic that says we can't let this happen. We have great American students here. We've got to put them right into the picture. What's the word on that?
Well, you know, obviously the aviation industry is international. It's all, you know, people fly all over the globe. You know, we have customers in 100-something countries, and we are, you know, millions of people fly every day. And we are still mostly U.S.-based in terms of our workforce. We have international operations all over the world, and we manufacture products all over the world. We fabricate pieces, and we provide services all over the world and all of that. But we have really, you know, because we were started in Seattle 105 years ago, and we are based in Chicago, and
That's right.
You know,
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's true. Bill Boeing was a timberman who was a plane enthusiast. And, you know, 105 years ago, planes were made out of spruce, and there was a lot of spruce in the Northwest. And that's why Boeing is based in, or started out in Seattle. Anyway, so that's, you know, all of that is true. What we see, though, as we look toward the future, as the world economy continues to internationalize, and as the aviation industry continues to grow in other parts of the world, the demand for workers also increases in other parts of the world, and the need for us to be able to hire and employ workers around the world increases. And whereas, you know, when we started out as a more international company, we would ship people off on assignments around the world. Now we recognized that just like in the United States, it's really important for us to have workers in country who are from those countries, who can help build the industry within those countries. And so for the United States, where the aviation industry is very strong, we have amazing, very robust aviation industries or airlines here in the country. We're really seeing that we are all competing harder and harder and harder with each other for the same talent. And that is a big problem. You know, there are we are manufacturers, so we think not only about the aerospace workforce, we also think about the manufacturing workforce. And those are two industries where we are just competing with each other and accelerating our hiring to try to like outbid each other, quote unquote, for the talent that exists because there are not enough workers. You know, there are probably 300,000 manufacturing workers needed between now and the end of the decade, and we are not producing anything near that. And something like, you know, I mentioned earlier that statistic about the colleges and university enrollment being down. Yeah. The biggest hit in that is two-year colleges, and a lot of the folks who go into manufacturing jobs do so out of high school with a certificate they get at a technical or community college and then into a manufacturing job. And that is a big problem for the manufacturing sector in this country, which everybody talks about. They want to grow, not shrink.
Yes. It is. There's a ton of jobs out there. We just have to do things. Marla, as we look at this and talk about it, okay, and we all want this to work, okay, and you and your corporate partners, Boeing being one of the anchor partners of the coalition, okay, what are the new ways, okay, that we're approaching STEM and reaching out to schools? What can schools expect? How can we really help them? What's the new stuff in this crazy world we're in right now?
Well, Sam mentioned our COVID Solution Seeker series that's on our website, and we are actually pretty much celebrating the one-year anniversary of that series, and it was a great opportunity for companies to really show how STEM, you know, is at the forefront of addressing the challenges associated with the pandemic and showing how these STEM workers really made a pivot from some of the current jobs that they were doing in their career to actually something else that was very much transferably skill-based to start to work on solutions for COVID-19. Boeing was at the beginning of this work. I think, Larry, you remember we had some conversation about how they had, individuals working within their organization doing the 3D face shields. This was right at the onset of COVID. And so that was a really exciting story to tell. But, you know, as, highlighting some of our anchor partners, Boeing being one, Microsoft, and API along with Chevron really built the architecture for
the
work.
Small companies there. When are you going to get the big guys involved? Yep. That's a joke. Yep.
And so, what we're doing as of late, we're continuing to create this content that, again, you know, if you have access to internet, you can get to the STEM Careers Coalition site and, access the resources. And this is students, educators and parents, because we found that parents have become, increasingly educators in the household, especially during these hybrid learning models. But lately, what we've done is we have started to build collections just to make it a little easier to navigate, through these incredible resources and content that we've created. And so we have collections that are, addressing Black leaders in STEM, women in STEM. As of late, we were celebrating Space Month in May, and so we have a collection around those resources that really highlight exciting, careers in aviation. And then for June, it's wildly Ocean Month, and so we have a number of resources that really highlight work in that area. And then in addition to that, we've created, some topic series around really having discussions between our corporate leaders and educators around diversity in STEM, and the work that they're doing and how they can kind of bridge together to work even closer as we continue to try to drive students, in a direction around careers in STEM. So that's some of the things. We have many more, but all of it is centered around the student and supporting educators in that space, and really understanding the needs of our education community and how our corporate leaders can continue to assist to support that.
It's what you guys do is great. And I forgot to mention, everybody can go to STEM Career Coalition. STEMCareersCoalition.org. Okay, I forgot to mention that at the beginning and wanted to know that. Marla, I wanted to ask you a question, okay? And this is a key challenge. And, Sam, I don't know whether you see this too, but it dawned on me. I don't know. We want kids to get into STEM, and we are specifically looking for the for kids of color, Latin, Black, whatever the case may be, all right? And one of the concerns I have is that there aren't enough teachers of color in this area, and perhaps, I'm not sure of this, enough women in teaching STEM, because those are role models. And I'm not saying that kids should become a teacher, though that's not a bad profession, but to see a person of their own color in front of them teaching about it gives them the confidence to move forward in that area. Marla, do you know what's going on in terms of African-American, Latinos teaching STEM, math, engineering, that sort of thing, females? Do you have any numbers that come to mind on that to create those role models at the front of the classroom?
I don't have any specific statistics around that, but what I will tell you is that as we, as we create this content, as I mentioned, we're really wanting to increase STEM literacy amongst educators as well. And so we have, a great support system around that, where we dive into professional learning opportunities, every month, where educators can really understand the wealth of resources that we have under the Discovery Education umbrella that really supports STEM and STEM careers, and how they can bring that into the classroom. As far as educators, I've always known it to to be more female educators, if you will. I don't think that there is a disparity there, but I do understand in terms of, you know, your question around how many of those are actually STEM-centric, right?
Yeah.
And there is STEM, you know, in my opinion, there's STEM in every area of education. And so we just want to continue to illustrate that so that, yeah, so we can get all educators, you know, regardless of what their subject, you know, where they're a subject matter expert, to be able to integrate those STEM conversations.
Yeah, it's just also important. It's a cycle we have to keep building and building and building, because if I may, this is where the jobs are. Okay, and we have to, it's not only for the kids, it's for ourselves. If we don't have a competent workforce, we're going to fall behind, that colloquial we. Okay, and if the kids don't do it, here's a brilliant opportunity for kids who may not even know that opportunity exists. All right, and it's folks like you who are just making all that happen. I mean, you, and with the support of a company like Boeing, it's unbelievable. Sam, as you look at it all, Sam, okay, what's your thoughts about the future? Sam Whiting from Boeing.
I think I think a couple things related to that very question of representation. You know, we talk all the time about the adage, you can't be it if you can't see it, and how are we really working with our employee resource groups, you know, our Black Employees Association and our Boeing Pride Alliance and our Boeing Native American Network and all of those groups to be able to provide them opportunities to be engaged with students as much as possible. You know, if we can help even in that small way of a technical expert coming into a classroom to help in one session or over the course of 6 weeks or whatever it is that provides that representation, that's great. We also work with HBCUs around the country and with other higher ed institutions to try to diversify the educator workforce. I think that's all very important. But I think all of that comes back to one of the things that I think is fundamentally true is a person inspires a student to pursue a career or continue with a line of education. It's not a concept. A person, they are inspired by a person who does a job or a person who is in front of the classroom. I think about my own experiences. I have many siblings and I'm the youngest, and we all had the same geometry teacher, Mrs. Shawhouse. And, you know, I have like a brother who's an engineering professor and a sister who was a CPA and, you know, a brother who's a doctor. And like when we talk about educators who inspired us, we all talk about Mrs. Shawhouse. And I think that kind of example, the more examples like that we can provide, it wasn't that we were all inspired by geometry. We were inspired by her. And I think that's a really important thing for us to remember in this. And the STEM Careers Coalition, I think, does a great job. All of the content is about the people who work at Boeing or Microsoft or Chevron or wherever. It's not about the jobs they do. The information about the jobs is them talking about themselves. And that's what I think really inspires students the most.
That was beautifully said. Thank you, sir.
Totally
I appreciate that. Where'd you go to school? Where were you when you were
there? I grew up in South Texas, in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Wow. You're a long way from home, up in Seattle.
I am. When I moved to Seattle, it was as far away from Texas as I could imagine at the time.
That's funny. Okay, what a great teacher. Mrs. Shaw?
Mrs. Shawhouse.
Yeah, unbelievable, man. Just incredible. Yeah. Thank you for that anecdotal thing. That is, it means a lot. It really does. We got to get the right people in front of these kids and the right resources to those people, and we're going to change the world together. Thank you, Marla. As always, I love this show. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. It's always a pleasure, and I always look forward to our discussions, and I really appreciate Sam joining us today.
Oh, yeah. Especially, he's still in his jammies. He hasn't told us that. It's only 6:35.
He's
hardly.
You know what, Larry? Sam is an early riser.
Okay.
True. I work for a global company. Six is not early for me.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate it, Sam. We do. And actually, I got one quick funny story. I know. It, by the way, if I ever apply to Boeing, don't hire me, and you'll now find out why. Okay?
All right.
And, Marla, I'm going to ask you the question. I was out in Seattle years ago. Friends of mine worked in manufacturing at Boeing. And I said to them, it must be so cool to take that steel and make an airplane. And they all burst out laughing. Marla, why did they burst out laughing? Marla?
What was the question, Larry, that you
I said
asked?
To them, I said, it must be so cool to see that steel roll in and make an airplane. And all these guys who worked at Boeing died laughing. Okay, why die laughing?
Well, if you had the pleasure that Sam afforded me of an actual tour where they build airplanes, you probably would not have asked that question.
That's exactly right. And the reason I would not have asked that question is because they died laughing. They said if airplanes were built of steel, they'd never get off the ground, Larry.
Exactly.
Because they're built of aluminum.
It would just roll. Yep.
Right.
It would just roll.
Right. They laughed for 20 minutes. Okay. So, Sam, when I apply, okay, do not hire me under any conditions. If I were caveman, we would have just invented duct tape. Okay. Just now. Okay. So, you know, really, it's aluminum, everybody, not steel. Okay.
Well, and now it's composites, which is even lighter. So
it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Really,
you look at it. If I'm out in Seattle, can you take tours of the plant?
You can take tours of the Everett plant. We have a facility called the Future of Flight, which is a little museum, and they run public tours. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I should do that next time if I ever get out there again. I think I'm gonna do that. And I'll find you, Sam. I'll buy you lunch.
It's a deal.
Okay?
All right.
Sounds good. Thank you both. Take care. Stay safe. We'll talk soon. Thanks, Sam.
Right. Nice
thank
to
you,
so you
Larry.
Opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marla. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Sam Whiting from Boeing, part of the STEM Careers Coalition, run by the executive director, my good buddy, Marla Wilson, who is just great. And their resources are terrific, stemcareerscoalition.org. I can't say enough for them. This is the workforce we're creating. It's going to be a damn good one, so let's make it happen. Pardon my voice today. I can hear the way I'm talking, okay, and I'm a little asthma-y today. All right, we're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. I appreciate you listening, everybody. Thanks, Marla. Thanks, Sam. Take care.